I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
It strikes me as breathtakingly ironic. The cynic might say cynical, that the people who are screaming so loudly about President Trump's decision to audit federal spending are the very same people under President Biden who wanted to hire 80,000 new IRS agents with guns to audit the American people. As I've said before, if it weren't for double standards, there wouldn't be any standards at all in this town.
Louisiana Senator Kennedy, and he's dead on. The folks are crying out because Trump is trying to have an audit of all federal spending and exposing already massive fraud inside the federal government, much less what's taking place inside the various states. Did I say Minnesota? Oh, yes, I did. Did I say California? Yes, I did. Did I say every blue state? Yes, I did. Some in red states? No doubt. Expose it all and put people behind bars. Don't just expose it. Put people behind bars. But as Louisiana Senator Kennedy says, the very ones crying foul to use such tactics, trying to go after fraud, were the ones who wanted to create more IRS agents and give them guns to come investigate you. Boy, did we miss that bullet. Thank God for Trump winning the election. I remind you constantly, if he had not won, none of this we know now would have been covered for decades. Maybe my grandchildren would have heard about it. Welcome to the hour number two, Larry Connors USA. We're here every Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m. And when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program live. Well, how do you do that? I'm glad you asked. You go to newstalkstl.com, Rumble, newstalkstl Rumble, right there. Or you go to Twitter and Facebook. And you can also go to Larry Connors USA Rumble or Facebook. And everything goes up as a podcast later in case you miss it. If you missed the last hour, you missed a clear expose of a woman who was listed on the voter rolls as still voting and had voted 50-plus times when she said she never did, and listing her age as 126. If I had time, I'll get back into that for you. But if not, pull up the podcast. And also hear our tribute to Sunday, which was D-Day. And some interesting stories, including the letter General Dwight D. Eisenhower had already penned and had ready to send out in case everything failed. Thank God he didn't have to send it. With Larry Connors USA, you're always going to get news, analysis, commentary, and education. You're going to know more by the time we finish each hour than you do when we begin that hour. I promise you. And later in this hour, an Islamist who wants to be a mayor in a Texas city, one of the top 30 cities in the state of Texas. And he's already admitted, I don't like American troops, and I hate the U.S., and yet he thinks he can and will be elected mayor in a Texas city. Where in the hell would that happen? Could it happen? We'll get into that later. Let's go back to the Senate and Senator Kennedy.
The battle lines are drawn, Mr. President. The battle lines are drawn. Some of my colleagues have decided to support the bureaucracy and the spending porn over the American taxpayer. That's what they've done. And some of the same people, it's not just my Democratic colleagues, there are many people in Washington, D.C., that have grouped together and they've circled the wagons and they've decided to support the spending porn and the bureaucrats over the American taxpayer. That's their right. It's not against the law or unconstitutional to be foolish in America. But these are the same people. These are the same people who chose to support illegal immigration over the rule of law.
Yep, they are. And now some of them are recognizing that was a bad decision. You think? And yet you've got some others who so hell-bent on it still. They're out there protesting at ICE detention centers, daring police and federal agents to arrest them. And they will if they step over the line and attack any of those officers. I still say, if you're so hell-bent on keeping illegals in this nation, many of those members of gangs that have raped, murdered, you want them, you can have them in your home, and you take full responsibility for them. And if they do anything wrong, assuming they don't kill you, we jail you. That's never going to happen. In the meantime, the investigation continues in congressional testimony dealing with the Southern Poverty lawsuit filed by the Department of Justice, which had claimed basically that they funneled something like 3 million plus, maybe closer to 4 million, from the Southern Poverty Law Center, which was designed to fight against racism. They were giving it to KKK members, not just as informants, but helping them buy supplies to build crosses and fuel to burn them. Congressman Jim Jordan questioning the acting president of the SLPC.
Mr. Fair, did the Southern Poverty Law Center use donor money to have field sources attend extremist rallies across the country?
Mr. Chairman.
It's a simple question. Did you use your donor money for that purpose?
We used donor money.
So yes or no?
To pay confidential informants to infiltrate extremist organizations.
Did the Southern Poverty Law Center use donor dollars to have field sources host extremist rallies throughout the country?
Not to my knowledge.
That's not what the indictment says. Did the Southern Poverty Law Center use donor dollars to have field sources grow existing chapters of extremist groups?
Mr. Chairman, as
it's
I said earlier...
It's a simple question, Mr. Fair. Did you use donor money for the purpose I just read? I'm reading straight from the superseding indictment.
And Mr. Chairman, the indictment will be managed and responded to by counsel in the criminal case that's
pending.
Well,
you just answered a question from Mr. Raskin concerning the indictment. He asked you, did field sources send information to the FBI that help with things? You answered that question.
That's a matter of public knowledge.
That's in our public filing.
Did the Southern Poverty Law Center use donor money to have field sources create new chapters of extremist groups?
And again, he's going to say, that'll be part of the case the Department of Justice is trying to prove. Can't talk about it. Jordan got very, very direct.
Did you do it all for the money? I mean, you said now, I think the Southern Poverty Law Center said you're no longer going to use these field sources. You're going to stop the program. But you did it for multiple years. And according to the indictment, it was $4 million that you shelled out to these various field sources to engage in all the activities I just read.
As
I'm just wondering, was it all about the money?
As we said in our public statement, Chairman Jordan, we did it to protect our staff and to protect the public.
Did fundraising increase after paying people to stay in these groups who actually wanted out of them? Did your fundraising increase? Did the donations coming in increase?
Chairman Jordan, I'm not sure exactly what you're referring to.
After the crazy Charlottesville rally, did fundraising go up?
Mr. Chairman, our fundraising went up.
Fundraising where one of your field sources helped coordinate transportation.
Our fundraising went up when President Donald Trump was elected.
Bang, that's it. Again, Trump derangement syndrome. We got more money once Trump was made president. Well, I have no doubt that happened. But I have no doubt also they were funneling money. As the Department of Justice says, it has to be proven, but I believe it probably happened. They had to have a boogeyman if they're going to have more money coming in. Texas Congressman Roy takes his shot at him.
Focus on the Family is now noted as a hate group.
Mr. Roy.
Can you explain that?
Congressman Roy, we take no pleasure in listing any group, and we wish the list was empty. But we have the constitutional right to express our
opinion. How many leftist anti-Jewish groups do you have listed on your website?
We...
Name them.
Anyone listening to this can go to our website and see our Year in Hate and Extremism report was released this morning.
How many extremist Islamic groups do you have of the 1,500 or so organizations you have on your hate map?
Again, anyone can go to our website.
My office has been looking over and we can't really find one.
Again, it is the SPLC's.
You think SPLC could provide us a list of the Islamic-oriented groups that you have on your hate map?
Mr. Roy, we don't target any group because of its religion.
Really?
I want to be clear about that.
Really?
Yes, that's exactly right. We target no group because of its religion. We target groups because they express statements and engage in activities that demean and vilify.
So you brought up LGBTQ groups a minute ago. So you think there's a bunch of Islamic groups that are pro-LGBTQ? Is that the position of the SPLC? I just want to make sure the record is reflecting that.
Mr. Roy, as I said, we target no group or label no group because of its religion. We target groups and label groups because of what they say about others.
But he's not really calling out Jew haters, is he? No, not doing that. Dr. Alveda King, former congresswoman from Georgia, the niece of Martin Luther King, she was invited to be among those questioned by members of Congress yesterday. And in her view, in her mind, yes, the Southern Poverty Law Center was involved in funneling money to the KKK and others to create a boogeyman so they could raise more money.
So do you pay the same people to do the bomb and then go and comfort the people from being bombed? You pay the same people to do both jobs? That's kind of fraud to me. That's weird and chaotic and confusing.
Well, Dr. King, I don't think there's any allegation that anybody who was working with the Southern Poverty Law Center bombed anyone. Do you have information to that effect?
Because I don't personally, but outside agitators did bomb our house in 63 and then ran back and took off the Ku Klux Klan sheets and put on police things and ran up in the yard.
Well,
it
that's
was the
statement.
Same people. It was crazy.
I'm with you, and that's a statement about the racism of that police force working with the Ku Klux Klan.
Hey, y'all pay both of them to do the double jobs. SPLC does. Really. You hire them to do the bombing, then
you're
hire
asserting
them to
a lot
fix
of
the
things
bombing. That's weird.
Dr. King, you're asserting a lot of things under oath, and you haven't brought the evidence with you. So I'll get some for you. Okay, please. Bring us the evidence, and I'll yield back.
That's Maryland Congressman Raskin giving Dr. Alveda King a hard time. I mean, it is correct. She had no evidence. But she saw it and she witnessed it. But he's trying to shut her down. Well, we have a decision, we think, in L.A. regarding the two final candidates to run for the L.A. mayor's race. But a lot of questions about fraud and voting.
I'm a journalist, and we're just doing a story about identity theft, and I'm looking for a Vicky Walker. Is that?
Doesn't live here. I bought this house nearly 9 years ago.
Okay.
The only reason I know that name is because we still get her mail, assuming it's her.
Okay.
So, yeah, I never even met the person.
They're giving names of currently registered voters, and one of them is a Vicky Walker. I assume that's his address?
We still get her ballot, but...
You still get her ballot?
Yeah.
And you're one of like thousands of people they're doing this to?
Yeah.
But you probably don't want people voting in your address.
Absolutely.
It's going to disenfranchise you.
That's why I always feel really weird when I get the voting ballot. It's like, you know, obviously that's fraudulent. As a joke, I've named my feral cat Vicky Walker. Dude, I know this is.
This is mysterious Vicky Walker. I mean, you're saying it's been 9 years since she's lived here.
Since
you moved in.
I have no idea because I don't even know who lived here before us.
Unbelievable.
So, yeah.
That's James O'Keefe investigating California fraud. And the man he's talking to said, I got these voter registration information. I put the name of my cat on it. And I didn't do it. Nick Shirley, another investigative reporter, as you well know, was looking at what happened in California, and listen to what he found.
So how old is this person who's eligible to vote here inside the United States, inside the state of California?
126, based on the Secretary of State.
And this is Doris.
Yeah.
And now we're going to see if Doris is home. Are you Doris?
She's right here. Yes.
Hello, Doris.
Yes.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
We're just going through the voting rolls here, and we're just confirming anybody who's above the age of 100 years old. And right here it says you're 126 years old.
No, you got the wrong house.
That's a lie.
Are you Doris?
Yeah, but you got the wrong house. I'm Doris, but you got the wrong place. That's the wrong information, all that stuff. No, no, that's wrong.
Oh, here, I can show you if you'd like.
No, it's just that it's wrong.
How come you think here in California they're just messing up on all these voting rolls here?
I don't know, because I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it says you voted in 51 elections, Doris.
No, not me.
Really?
I'm not no 100-something years old.
I know.
I
just want to make sure you're not 126 years old.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, it really does say you're 126 years old here.
No, says, Who did this be 126? That don't even make sense.
I know. That's what the Secretary of State says.
Well, the Secretary of State is wrong.
Okay, well.
Put it like this. I was born in 1940, so you figure that out.
All right, Doris. You have a good evening.
Yeah, but in California, you can be 125 plus years old and vote. You can be absolutely in the grave and vote. The left-wing candidate, Rahman, ends up opposing Karen Bassey, incumbent in the L.A. mayor's runoff. The votes came down to about 20,000 votes difference, according to the latest numbers, between Rahman and the Republican Pratt. Pratt had a large lead, and then all these mail-in ballots came in again. We're going to get more into the fraud and the voting coming up and the other fraud in our next segment as well. You ever play pin the tail on the donkey? You put the blindfold over the person's eyes, and maybe you were the one, and you went up and you tried to figure out where the tail should go. With the Democrats, you can put the pin any damn place you want, and it will be fine. Stick the tail in the donkey's eye. They will accept it. You don't want to miss our report on fraud still to come. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying Gesundheit, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesundheit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. VincentsJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Got a black magic woman.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
In a letter to every governor in America, no one had ever held the states accountable. The federal government funds the food stamp program. We send hundreds of millions of dollars a day to the states, but there'd never been a back-end accountability on how is that money getting spent. So we asked all the states to partner with us. It's time to have accountability. The red states, of course, did. And with that red state data, we found 200,000 dead people getting food stamps. We found 500,000 people that were getting more than one benefit. And y'all, this was in the red states. The blue states wouldn't give us the data. They're suing us. We're in massive litigation right now, looking to cut those funds off until they give us that data. But the fraud is so rampant and so stunning that when the president, the vice president, and our team talks about, you know, when we can root all this fraud out, we're going to really be able to cut the deficit, make sure we're protecting the taxpayer, but also make sure we're protecting the families that rely on these programs at the same time and by getting the fraud out.
But you know what you hear from the left? You're taking money away from the kids they could use. The fraud has already taken the money away from them. That was our USDA Secretary Brooke Rollins. And she pointed out we found 200,000 dead people getting food stamps. 200,000 dead. 500,000 more getting more than one benefit. And she says, that's in the red states. The fraud we found inside the red states. The blue states are suing to prevent us from getting any information. Why would they do that? Oh, what a stupid question, Larry. You wasted your breath and our mind asking, why would the blue states fight unveiling fraud? Because they're up to their nostrils in it and above. They don't want it unveiled. In fact, they want to keep the money. But at the same time, when you uncover it and you take it back, they want to claim you're starving kids. You're starving families. But the money never went to those families and kids. And it's going and taking it from Americans who are putting in for their future. This we've seen in this nation, generation after generation after generation, raised on the basis of the handout. Now, I have had some disputes with some of my colleagues here and elsewhere. Reference LBJ and his social programs, and FDR and his social programs. I believe those programs truly were needed for the nation and the people at the time. FDR were trying to come out of the Great Depression. We needed to have jobs, put people to work. And they came up with the Public Works Program. They were earning a dollar and money was being spent. And it was putting money into their hands and food in the mouth of their family. And the Great Society under Johnson had a great premise to take care of those truly in need. And I'm all for that. I don't believe any child in this nation should go to bed hungry at night. But the problem is it morphs into, well, give me more, give me more, give me more. Let me spend it on soda and candy and things of that nature. Not a good idea. Then we have the obesity weight issue that follows and the alcoholism that follows that. And pretty soon, it's a vicious cycle. And the next generation comes along and says, that's the way they did it. That's the way I'm going to do it. And I'm going to teach my kids to do it. Generation after generation. We're trying to break the cycle here. And on the other side, and you've got to keep this in mind, this is not just black families doing this. There are a lot of white families and other colored families of various colors involved in this. There are a lot of black families that work hard for every dollar and cent they make and provide for their family the best they can. But when help is needed, I want help to be supplied in a way that we get it back by good hard work, not taking it through theft and lies. Congressman James Comer, House Oversight Chair, was dealing with the New Mexico Democrat Congresswoman Teresa Fernandez, talking about trying to root out government fraud. You have to understand, she apparently has no issue with government fraud. Listen.
On, you allowed her to testify.
Are we talking about fraud? What are we talking about? I don't think you understand what we're talking about here. We're talking about fraud.
I'm talking about oversight.
Oversight of fraud. We're talking about taxpayer dollars. We're talking about fraud. This bill has to do with fraud. This is something that's a foreign concept to Democrats. You just want to keep spending more money. You don't care about the poor, hardworking Americans who spend 40% of their paycheck on taxes and are sick and tired of their money being wasted by fraudsters. That's what this bill is about. But and you talk about inspectors general. My God, where have the inspectors general been on all this fraud? They got fired. This fraud's been happening for years. I would fire them all and hire new ones. All you all do is kiss the butts of the federal employees. You don't want to fire anybody. Christy Norm, I agree with what you're saying. She got fired. She should have gotten fired. And anybody that defrauds the taxpayer should get fired. You all never fired anybody. And you're talking about the last president who we investigated pardoned his whole family, and you all didn't say a word. Yep. You giggle all you want. The American people are fed up. You're going to be in for a shock, I think, when you see how angry the people are at fraud and the Democrats' lack of doing nothing. These should be bipartisan bills to detect fraud, and all you're concerned about is hiring more federal employees that have not been detecting fraud.
Yep, that's exactly true. It is a vicious cycle. And the dirty little secret that is not so secret, they know it. Got to keep the chain and the train moving. Just keep moving. Then, of course, you look at trying to get votes counted. And why in the state of California, the center of Silicon Valley and all the computer geniuses in the world, does it take days and weeks to come up with a final count? Well, apparently, when it comes to the LA mayor's race, they have reached a decision. But let me give you the numbers here. They still had mail-in ballots, by the way, still coming in. As I read these to you, there's still more ballots coming in. But somewhere along the line, the lead that the Republican Pratt had to go up against Karen Bass, incumbent, in this jungle primary, as they call it, vanished because more votes came in. All postmarked on election day, but they're still coming in. I know they're not using the Pony Express out there because that's been out of existence for some time. But the current numbers show in the running for L.A. mayor, Karen Bass, 34% of the total votes. The progressive, and I mean more progressive than Bass, Rahman, 29%. Pratt, the Republican, at 26%. 3% difference. And votes are still coming in. And Justice Alito of the Supreme Court puts it this way.
We have lots of phrases that involve two words, the last of which, the second of which is day. Labor Day, Memorial Day, George Washington's birthday, Independence Day, birthday. and Election Day, and they're all particular days. So if we start with that, if I have nothing more to look at than the phrase Election Day, I think this is the day in which everything is going to take place, and or almost everything. And then we have three points in time, 1844, 1872, 1914. And we can ask, what would people have thought on those days is meant by this phrase, Election Day? Which of those should we choose? Which of those days, dates should we choose?
Well, I think you could choose any of the three. I mean, honestly, I think the single best one, if you're just going to choose one, is 1872. And the reason I say that is because 1914 is the latest in time, but that's the one that Congress gave the least thought to.
Yep, the least thought to. Now, Justice Alito, looking at the case as to the state laws allow ballots to be counted after Election Day. There's a thin line here. I don't want the federal courts involved in state elections. But the federal elections, yeah, I think we need to mark it down. And even pompous arse Lawrence O'Donnell says, look how Kamala Harris got to be the attorney general in Los Angeles.
4 weeks after the November 2nd election, California finally has declared a winner in the attorney general race. Harris finished so close to her Republican opponent that it took a month to finish counting every vote. She won by less than 1 percentage point.
1 percentage point. She won? Well, they say she did. And the rest is history with this word salad, Kamala Harris. Coming up, I want to talk to you about the in Texas. There's an Islamist who wants to be the mayor of one of the top 30 cities in Texas. And he admits he hates American troops. He hates America. And yet he thinks he should be elected mayor in one particular city. You want the tales of this, and I've got them for you. Plus the backlash against Trump going to the Knicks game last night.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation. If they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, bass.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Believe a guy who hates American veterans, who gave him the freedom to say what you're saying.
No one gave
right
me freedom.
Now.
My parents are the only people that made sacrifice. No vet has made any sacrifice. I want to make that clear.
What?
I do not support the U.S. military. No, I do not support the United States. I look down on both entities. I want to make that clear.
You know what? How do you feel about veterans?
The guy.
I don't support veterans.
What?
No, I love it.
The guy, I know it's hard to make it out, but the guy that was saying, I do not support the U.S. military, and I do not support the U.S., is from Pakistan, an Islamist now in the U.S., I assume legally. Maybe, I doubt he's become an American citizen. Probably not, but he is running for mayor of Carrollton, Texas. Do you know where that is? That's the Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex area, about 60 miles to the northwest of Dallas, part, probably more directly above Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. Bottom line is, this is in the heart of Texas. You have an Islamist from Pakistan running to be mayor of Carrollton, which is in the top 30 cities in the state of Texas as far as population, who says, I do not support the U.S. military. I do not support the U.S. Now, what are his odds of getting elected? I'm afraid to tell you that he could well be elected. I don't know the people of Carrollton. I don't know how many there would vote for such an extreme radical view. We've already seen cases where some parts of Texas, in particular the capital, where I was born, Austin, has become so blue it's sickening. And San Antonio and El Paso. So there are pockets of blue throughout the state that still remains red. We have a lot of blue state residents leaving California and New York because of taxes and other pressures, crime, and they're moving down to Texas. They're welcomed in Texas. They're welcomed in Florida, Tennessee, and Missouri, as long as you do not bring the same policies that destroyed where you were living. I'm looking at a piece of The Federalist written by Joy Pullman. We often have her on. There's an Indiana city that's run, a GOP Indiana-run city, considering what she calls a Democrat-run, California-style homeless center. This is Fort Wayne, Indiana. One councilman says we need to try a third option besides doing nothing or enabling addicts. That's apparently what they're looking at. Their idea of running a homeless shelter is to basically provide them drugs, keep them high, and keep them there. So the way the article was written, Fort Wayne has worked for the last 20 years spending billions in taxpayer dollars and incentives to transform from a rust belt downtown to vibrant, flourishing town in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And the council in the city, which is Indiana's second largest city, voted to install a homeless center that would serve drunk, high, and otherwise criminal residents without any expectations or even ID checks. Joy Pullman writes, research and experience show that similar low-barrier centers in Democrat-run states, such as Illinois and California, that increases homeless homelessness and addiction, increases crime, vagrancy, and, of course, public spending. Why did the Republican-run council in Indiana go this direction? Again, the councilman said, our sole economic development strategy for the last 20 years is to make downtown Fort Wayne great again. He said after that would be ceding a large portion of downtown to the blast radius by picking this particular location. They're going to locate it within a few hundred feet of the city's most popular farmer's market, a park, a YMCA, one of the city's historic churches, Indiana's longest-running Christian K-8 school. The city insists the center will not require any background checks or identification for anyone at the homeless shelter to see if they violate a state law banning sex offenders from residing near a youth center, schools, or parks. What the hell are they drinking in Fort Wayne, Indiana, that the Republican-controlled council voted go along with this idea? In addition, the city is telling local media it will allow people to live in their own cars in the parking lot, creating the potential for a permanent homeless encampment center. Again, in downtown Fort Wayne, Indiana. Never been there. Maybe you have. Maybe you have a better idea of the picture I've just described. I don't know, but everything I see and read here is not a good idea. As one said, low barrier shelters are basically designed for people who are chronically homeless. And asking the question, is it humane to encourage people to be permanently homeless in encampments, slowly succumbing to drugs while on public property? That's a good question, because that's what they're doing. Missouri Senator Hawley had a point he was making the other day, and in our first hour, in case you missed it, had a representative of a public policy group that's trying to fight to protect women, Title IX sports. And they're going to be at the shareholders meeting for Dick's Sporting Goods shareholders meeting tomorrow. And trying to press them, are you going to continue to protect women, or are you going to continue to coddle up to leftists and wokeism? And Josh Hawley points out these leftists have gotten so wacko, everything that we try to correct and make right by our people and the public, they suddenly want to revert back and say, this is Jim Crow all over again.
I just think it's time to speak a little truth to power, because the fact of the matter is, it is not bigotry to protect children in this country. I've sat here and listened to this side of the aisle say just a moment ago to compare protecting children and young people like you, Ms. Cole, to Jim Crow. We were just told a second ago, it is the new Jim Crow to say that boys shouldn't be in girls' locker rooms. It is the new Jim Crow to say that men shouldn't be playing women's sports. I'm sorry, but that is the most ridiculous, outrageous thing I have heard in I don't know how long, and that is a real prize in the United States Senate.
Yeah.
That is absolute garbage. And to hear these lies, and those are lies, spewed in this hearing room is absolutely astounding to me. It is time to speak the truth. Protecting children is not wrong. It is our job.
Yes.
It is right. It is justice. It's what we are here for. And I think it's time that we start exposing the nonsense, the outrageous nonsense that has been foisted on our children.
And keep in mind, they are our children. They're not the government, state, the nanny's children. They're our children. Protect them. You know, we had an Army Apache helicopter patrolling the Strait of Hormuz. They got shot down off the coast of Oman. An Iranian rocket, missile, not sure exactly what brought it down, but it is an Iranian drone. I correct that. They now know it is a drone. Two crewmen on board, they were successfully rescued from the water. Amen. In fact, they got to him within 2 hours of their chopper hitting the water. Actually, a U.S. Navy surface drone was sent out to rescue them and transfer them to another location where they were hoisted into a helicopter and now safely on a ship. As President Trump said, they are safe, uninjured. But he made this statement. The U.S. must of necessity respond to this attack. Yeah, we have to. We know it came from Iran. And what we know about exactly where, I am not privy to. But we need to go back and hammer the hell out of that place and everyone like it in Iran. They think they can shoot down a U.S. helicopter and have a big laugh about it. Our response should be, open the door. A drone is coming in to wipe you out. Well, President Trump went to the Knicks game last night, Knicks against the Spurs. Many did not want him to attend, including House Minority Leader Jeffries.
So I've had a few things to say about Donald Trump going to the Knicks game. And, you know, at this point, it's game day. And I think Knicks fans just want to enjoy game three, the first home game that we've had in 27 years. But it also is not clear to me that Donald Trump is a big Knicks fan. I mean, does this guy even know the difference between Karl Rove and Karl Anthony Towns? I don't think so. He's just injecting himself into the NBA Finals because he always has to bring the MAGA circus into town.
Hakeem, we're getting ready to educate you. Make sure you're listening. But before that, I'm going to agree with one thing he said. We just want to go enjoy the game. We don't want any politics shoved in our face. I don't hear you saying that when you got Pride Month shoved into the faces of fans who are going to sporting events throughout this month. I don't hear it when you push all these other woke policies at sporting events, when all we want to do is go enjoy the game. Now, if he had done any research whatsoever, it wouldn't take much to simply make a call to the NBA commissioner when he claims that Trump, I doubt he knows anything about the game.
And I'll also say about President Trump, you know, I've been with the league for a long time. I ran NBA Entertainment years ago. He did an I Love Game spot with us. He was a fixture at NBA at Madison Square Garden. You guys remember, all of you, when you played here, not Draymond, but back in the old days, he had courtside seats. He was here all the time. He was at drafts. So he's a genuine Knicks fan.
So he has a history of supporting the Knicks. And Hakeem Jeffries acting like he's just trying to make a political statement. He's a fan. I'm so glad to tell you the Knicks lost last night. New York still leads the series 2-1, but the final last night, the San Antonio Spurs won 15, Knicks won 11. And when Trump, when his picture was up on the big screen, there were more boos than applause for him. There might have been more applause, but they decided to stay silent, maybe to sit on their hands, because they were surrounded by others booing Trump. They're the ones who created the politics. The president shows up at a game. It's an honor to have him show up, just like it's an honor to be invited to the White House after your team wins a championship. They're the ones who are injecting the politics. And, of course, we have the 250th anniversary with the June 14th event coming up. June 14, not long from now. That is to have the cage match, the mixed martial arts show, all timed for President Trump's 80th birthday and part of our nation's 250th anniversary celebration. But there's a federal lawsuit trying to stop that UFC fight on the White House South Lawn. Well, they've already built the cage for the event. And they're giving out all kinds of free tickets. And it's going to be broadcast on monitors all around the area. The arena will hold 5,000 just outside the front door of the White House. UFC has said it plans to issue as many as 85,000 free tickets to either get inside the cage area itself that's been built or to be directly near one of those large screens that's going to be at the nearby Ellipse. And the leftists claiming on behalf of two Virginia residents, this is unlawful. You're violating National Park Service regulations prohibiting sporting events on federal parklands. Congress did not consent to this. No environmental review was conducted. The lawyer for the plaintiff says this is a private, commercial, corrupt use of our most sacred national monument. The White House said the challenge from the left is obstructionist, baseless, and pointing out no different than any of the other various White House-hosted events on the South Lawn. Remember when Biden had the drag queens out on the South Lawn parading around with children? And your tax dollars were paying them to participate? You did not hear the left complain then this was a misuse of federal property. The hypocrisy is everything for them. As always, I thank you for listening. We will be back here again tomorrow. Let your family, friends, even your enemies know. Larry Connors, USA. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.